So glad you've joined us here on the Clark Howard Show, where it's about your empowerment with knowledge so you can pack a punch in your wallet. I want you to learn ideas from me so you can save more and spend less, and don't let anyone ever rip you off. Speaking of horrendous ripoffs, have you heard of ringless voicemail? It is an ugly practice that some really despicable characters want to bring into your life. I'm going to tell you what it is, how it works, and how best to reduce the hassle from it in your life. And later this hour, seldom does it seem that a Supreme Court decision can so immediately and directly affect your wallet as one that just took place about, of all things, printer cartridges. I'm going to tell you how it affects you and the immediate benefit to your wallet. That's coming up in a half hour. Clark.com is our web address. If you have a question for me, Clark.com/ask. If you have a question, you want to get it answered at your convenience, know that we answer calls 9 hours each weekday, and you can talk with a member of Team Clark. That's completely free. You can see how to talk with a member of Team Clark on our homepage at Clark.com. Yet another terrorist attack has occurred. This one in Great Britain. A copycat of something that happened back in, I think, March, when some low-rent, terrible, despicable characters, supposedly in the name of their religion, Islam, this case, three sleazoids, drove a truck on the sidewalk on London Bridge, mowing down people. When they wrecked, they got out and took a machete-type knife and other knives and slashed people repeatedly. A horrific thing. And this was the day before a concert by Ariana Grande, who at a concert in Manchester just a couple of weeks ago, at the end of it, another despicable person, a lowlife, detonated a suicide bomb and killed a bunch of children, parents waiting to get their kids. I mean, horrific. My wife and my middle child were in a hotel in London, just having returned to the hotel, a short walk from London Bridge when that terrorist attack took place. And so my wife sends me a text immediately saying they're okay, they're safe, and so upset. My daughter, extremely upset. But my wife, in the even the immediacy of the moment, was resolute that she was not going to change anything that she was doing or our daughter was doing, that they were going to continue to go about their business on their trip in London. And that is something, you know, I feel so strongly about. The whole purpose of terrorism is to create fear and to change you and me. And I believe so much that we as individuals and as decent people here and other places, that we must stay strong and not give in to fear, not give in to hate, and not give in to intolerance. There have always been people through history who, in the name of a misguided view of their religion or nationalism or grievances or whatever it is, have visited violence on others, on innocents, who have used terror, even before I think there was a common use of the word terror or terrorism, it has been one of the sad parts of the human experience. And we need to be obviously aware of our surroundings. We as a country need to have a strong national defense. And we must be prepared to take the steps necessary to provide as much safety as we can. But no matter what we do, no matter what people do in any other place on earth, there will always be people who are demented, misguided, or overcome with some kind of sense that they have been treated wrong and that they are going to lash out with violence. You know, you think about going back to, I think it was 1996, when McVeigh, and I hate to even mention his name, murdered all those children in Oklahoma City. Supposedly because of a war he had with the United States, with the American people, and with the United States government. And whatever the grievance, whatever the misguided cause, there will always be those who do this kind of thing. It's how we handle it that matters. In Britain, there is so much hurt and anger, but there's also a toughness in the Brits. Goes all the way back to when they were dealing with one IRA bombing after another, when people would be slaughtered by the IRA bombs and terrorist attacks. And the Brits never have allowed whoever the evildoers were to change the nature of who they are. They take precautions. When you're in London and you have trash, what they call rubbish, and you want to throw it away, the only trash bins available, rubbish bins available now, are those that can't become a metal shard bomb. Generally, they will be a plastic rim that holds a plastic bag that you put your trash in, because one thing they saw in the prior wave of terrorism with the IRA is the IRA would put a bomb of some kind, a small explosive device, in a trash can, blow the trash can apart, and it would send metal shards everywhere. I want to dial back to something in the aftermath of the terrorist attacks in 2001. My producer Kim and I, on the first day you could get on an airplane, flew to New York City, and we did our show for days and did television as well from Midtown Manhattan and Lower Manhattan, because I felt it was so important to make it clear that I would not change anything I do or how I live my life because of the horrific terrorist attacks that visited our shores on that day. And as far as travel, that was a form of travel, obviously, but as far as going somewhere in the world, never am I going to allow the fear of what some malcontent scum to keep me from living my life. Now, Mara is calling right now with a question about going to Europe. And tell me what plans you have that you're in the midst of right now.
Hi. So I'm leaving for London on July 9th, and my daughter and I are planning to travel across Europe. We're going to Paris, we're going to Brussels, we're going to Germany, Venice, Rome, and Barcelona.
Oh my goodness. You know what's weird? I'm going on a trip also this summer where I will be in Brussels, Barcelona, and Rome.
Oh, okay.
So
I know. It's so exciting.
So it is exciting, but at the same time, you have some concerns?
I was curious if we should buy travel insurance to cover everything from today, you know, being terror trouble and having to change tickets or having a death in the family or anything, just being away for 4 weeks, if it's advisable to buy travel insurance.
That is a great question. And so let's deal with the terrorism angle first. Most trip cancellation, trip interruption policies will not cover you for a terrorist incident.
Okay.
The rules, the limitations on that are very, very strict. And so usually that will not be covered. As far as other things with a trip, if you have a number of parts of your trip that are completely non-refundable, not just non-changeable, but totally non-refundable, you don't use them, you lose them, that makes trip insurance a really worthy option to look at.
Okay.
And so the trip insurance market goes from minimal levels of coverage to extreme levels of coverage. And the difference is how the premium steps up based on how many levels of coverage are involved and how many different things are covered. Now, there's even travel insurance you can buy now that allows you to cancel a trip. This is what deals with the terrorism thing, allows you to cancel a trip for any reason whatsoever. I mean, it can be, well, I thought it would be sunny today and it's cloudy. I'm out. And what they do with those is they make it a shared loss. That when you buy one of the policies that allows you to cancel without giving a reason, you know, for any reason at all.
Okay.
They give you back 3/4 of the cost of what you've insured, and you eat 1/4.
Okay.
That's to keep people from being too cavalier about saying, oh, well, you know, that sounded great going to London, Paris, Brussels, Rome, Barcelona. I think those were the ones you named, in Germany. But, you know, now I just don't feel like it. To make that a shared expense where you're covered for the overwhelming majority of it, but not all of it.
Okay.
There is a website I can tell you about that's really good to comparison shop one policy to another and the level of coverage each would have. It's called InsureMyTrip.com.
InsureMyTrip.com. Okay.
And take your time reviewing policies because they're really good about telling you what they are going to do that's so wonderful for you. But the devil is in the details of the contract. So if there's one that looks really like, oh, this is exactly what I was looking for, then at that point before you buy, go in and read the terms and conditions and exclusions.
Okay. And is it costly? That's my question.
Trip insurance generally starts at about 6 cents on the dollar of the value of what you're insuring.
Okay.
And then goes up from there. So it again depends on how thorough the policy is, how robust the coverages are, and the limitations there are, how it plays out in terms of how many cents on the dollar. But a typical policy tends to be around the 6 cent for each dollar of insurance that you were to buy. It's time for today's Clark Regis moment. This is one of those new annoyances that you are not going to believe visiting your cell phone.
Scams, ripoffs, outrages. It's a Clark Regis moment.
Sleazoids have figured out how to do what's known as ringless voicemail, where, let's say, a debt collector is trying to hassle you or a company's trying to sell you something, instead of having it ring on your phone and have you ignore the call or hang up on them when you answer, suddenly your voicemail indicator comes on your phone and indicates you have a message, thinking that you'll go listen to your messages. Well, this ringless voicemail is suddenly reaching epic proportions for some people. For others, they haven't experienced it yet. But what I want to tell you about this ringless voicemail is despicable and unacceptable, where people who, let's say you're on the do not call list or with a cell phone, you're not supposed to be called by anybody, you haven't given permission to call, suddenly to have these voicemails show up annoying you in your life. But the technology that allows that can be defeated by technology popping up all over the place that allows you to have your voicemails cataloged for you, or even in many cases where you see a transcript of what someone has called about, and then you very quickly can delete the messages. I mean, the real answer is that these should not be allowed anyway. But as we found out with the robocalls, many times the sleazoids are calling from outside the United States and they can't be stopped. But if you start noticing voicemails appearing and no call ever happened, phone never rang, that's what's going on, and come up with the strategy that works best for you to defeat this terrible thing, ringless voicemail. Glad you're with us here on the Clark Howard Show, where it's about you learning ways to keep more of what you make. Clark.com is our web address, and ClarkDeals.com is where you find out the latest deals, the latest bargains. Hope we can save you some money. And of all people who's come up with a deal, what do we call this? The Supreme's deal? Supreme Court seldom so directly makes a decision that affects your wallet. But in a sweeping, broad decision, the Supreme Court did something that sounds so arcane, but affects you in so many different ways. This concerned the printer cartridges that Lexmark sells with their printers that they sell for a zillion dollars. You know, the way the printer business has worked historically is the printers like Hewlett-Packard and Lexmark and who else sells printers? Brother and who else am I missing? Epson is on both sides of this. I'll explain that in a second. The way their business has worked forever is they sell you a printer that they lose money on the printer itself. So they then can sell you the ink cartridge, at a cost of, by some analyses, $9,000 a gallon. So the printers, the ink in a printer cartridge is just pennies, but they sell it to you for massive dollars. It's not all unusual if you have a color printer that you go to buy new cartridges and the cartridges for that printer cost more than you paid for the printer originally and the cartridges that came with it initially. So the business model is to hook you, is to get you on their printer and then eat up your wallet with the printer supplies, the ink. But Lexmark had been very aggressive at trying to get the courts to punish anybody who refilled cartridges. And the Supreme Court unanimously said, no way, not any day. Once you have bought the item, in this case, the cartridge that goes in that printer, what you do with it after that is completely up to you. Not Lexmark, not Hewlett-Packard, not anybody can tell you what can happen with that next. So in and of itself, this is fantastic because the people that refill from small mom and pops to giant Costco wholesale are fully legally protected by a unanimous Supreme Court and being able to refill those cartridges and save you all that money. It also means that the business is likely to adopt the Epson model with their EcoTank or EcoTank, I don't know which way they pronounce them, printers, which I have two of and I love. You pay a real price for the printer, typically around $250, and then the ink is basically free. When you have to buy more ink, it costs like nothing. And that's the way it should be. And that's the way it will be. But this is about far, far more than that. Because it means with just about any product out there, you're going to be able to buy it. And once you own it, do with it what you wish. As an example, if you think about merchandise that a manufacturer wants only sold in specific stores, they will no longer have that ability to do so. Because let's say an item, and this happens often, where a manufacturer will set one price in the United States and will sell it in another country at a third the price. Well, now a retailer will be able to go to that other country, buy up inventory, import it in the United States, may have been made even made here originally, and sell it and lower ultimately the price you pay for the item. This is fantastic. Putting the power back in your hand as a consumer and in the hand of retailers to be able to save you money. And I think that is awesome. A great, great effect. And so rare that you'll have something that those Supreme Court justices decide that so directly affects you and me in a very positive way. Dan is with us on the Clark Howard Show. Hello, Dan.
Hi, Clark. Thanks for taking my call.
Certainly.
I had a question about electric cars. I was wondering, why don't they incorporate like solar panels into the cars? I know of one manufacturer that does it for their climate control system. But other than that, I was wondering for like extending the range.
So that is a great question. Are you talking about when Toyota had a version of the Prius that had the solar collectors for cooling in the car?
Yeah, I think they incorporated in their air conditioning system.
And so they had on the roof was partially constructed of panels that would run the AC. Well, the reason you don't see that a lot is solar needs more capacity than what you can just put on the roof of a car, at least with today's technology. And maybe the time will come that solar panels will become so energy efficient that you could have them on the roof of a car providing part of the power. But as best anything I've read, we're just not there yet. But the changes that are coming with the panels and with the batteries and cars, it's happening so much faster than anybody imagined that electric cars are soon going to be far, far cheaper to make than traditional gas engine vehicles. And so we're going to hit a perfect point probably within the next 5 to 6 years where the range on electric cars will be so good and the cost for buying one, even up front, so much cheaper than a traditional gas engine car, that it will radically change what people think about and what they shop for. On the on the solar side, the big change is that the cost of solar panels has fallen, I think it's 90% in the last 5 years. in terms of the equivalent cost of a panel versus the power output. And so around the country already, without subsidy, there are a number of states where solar is the cheapest form of energy you can produce at your home. Cheaper than buying by produce, I mean cheaper than buying it from the power company. And so both are in a big transition, but it's not a universal thing yet. As far as the roof of a car being its own power plant, I think that's not ready for prime time.
Okay. What about like a solar generator? I know they make like portable generators. I don't know much about them. I was wondering maybe hooking up a solar generator to an electric car, but I don't know how you would hook it up either.
Yeah, I don't know how you do that either. The big breakthroughs with solar are for people who, let's say, want to put a cabin in a more remote area where connecting to the grid is too difficult. And yeah. So people will build a cabin and be off-grid and use solar as the way to get sufficient power to be able to have modern conveniences in the cabin. So a lot of the breakthroughs with solar are for stationary applications, not for transportation.
Oh, okay.
So you're ahead of the game. Why don't you invent it?
I wish I had time to do that.
Yeah, I have no talent, so I couldn't ever do anything like that. But there are so many changes coming with how we produce energy in the United States and how we power our fleet of vehicles, how we power factories, homes, offices. The changes are happening as we go on with our daily lives. And the changes aren't like a light switch going on, off and on. It's not like it's an instant thing that's like, wow, everything changed overnight. It's more gradual in our daily lives, but the change will be very thorough over the next few years. Hunter is with us on the Clark Howard Show. Hello, Hunter.
Hi, Clark. How are you?
Great. Thank you. You want to talk about North Point Bank.
Correct.
So how'd you find out about North Point?
Bankrate.com.
So tell your fellow listener what they do.
They're offering 5% APY on a checking account.
Right. And this was very popular last decade, vanished through the financial crisis. And these accounts are starting to pop back up again, and it's a very clever thing. The bank issues you a debit card, and when you go to retailers and they say credit or debit, you always have to say credit. And if you do enough transactions in a month, which I think, oh, here it is, North Point requires 15 of them. If you do 15 or more a month, they then give you 5% interest on your checking account. And the way that works is they make such a huge amount of money every time you use a debit card but transact it as if it's credit. They get these massive fees that the retailer or restaurant has to pay, and they use part of those fees to pay you the 5% interest on your checking account.
Okay.
So it's completely legit. It's completely real. The only person who gets taken advantage of is the owner of the retailer or restaurant.
My main question was, I have an online savings account. Would it be better to let my money grow in the checking account and then move it, because the checking account has a cap on it, I could move it to the savings account as it, you know, near the cap.
Yeah, so the companies that do these checking accounts, the banks that do them, tend to have a cap of between $10,000 and $25,000. What's the cap at North Point?
$10,000.
Okay. So yeah, if you could be conscientious about making sure you got the 15 transactions done every month, and you could earn so much more, because if you're an online savings account now, you're earning 1/4 or so percent. You could take that up to 5% as long as you made sure you always did those 15 transactions.
Okay. So it would be a better way to let the money grow instead of just letting it sit in the online savings.
As long as you are willing to make sure you do those 15 transactions. That's where a lot of people slip up, is they don't get the 15 transactions done. But are you the kind of person who's really detail-oriented and you'll make sure you get that done every month?
Oh, yeah, I could definitely.
All right, so if you can make that work, then this one or the other banks that are, again, offering these higher interest rate checking accounts sounds great to me, and I just feel bad for the restaurateurs and the retailers, but that's the way the system works. Julie joins us on the Clark Howard Show. Hello, Julie.
Hi, Clark. How are you?
Great. Thank you, Julie. Hope everything's wonderful in your world.
It is.
So you want to talk about a State Farm product with me?
Yes. My auto insurance is offering me a discount if I use their mobile device to track my driving, and I was just wondering what you think about these devices.
Well, a lot about how I feel about an automobile tracking device is what kind of driver are you? Like,
pretty good.
If you're, all of us think we're above average, but think that everybody else out there is a terrible driver, right? That's just the way we are. But when I ask you that, what I mean is the things that they're specifically most interested in is how you start a car, how you stop a car.
Uh-huh.
Those are two of the key criteria. And people who tend to jackrabbit start and rapid stop have much higher accident rates than people who just gradually accelerate, and people who give good distance between themselves and the vehicle in front of them. And so you're very gradually coming to a stop. Those behaviors are being tracked by the app along with other things as well. The apps have become steadily more sophisticated over time. The first of these started, it was not really an app. It was a device that was placed in your car probably more than 10 years ago by Progressive Insurance.
Mm-hmm.
And they become far more sophisticated. I'm looking at something from State Farm just now. And what's funny is the first two things they're judging you on are exactly what I said. How you start, how you stop.
Uh-huh.
And then they look at your speed and time of day that you drive. These are less important factors. But what they're trying to do is they know there are certain characteristics that will make you truly a safer driver, and they want to see how you are on that scale. So if you're somebody who people are like, come on, can't you go faster, Julie? Can't you get going a little quicker, whatever? If people are always unhappy with you feeling like you're just not aggressive enough out on the road,
right?
Then you're a good candidate for this.
Uh-huh.
But if you're somebody who likes to get somewhere in a hurry and gets impatient with other drivers, odds are it's not going to help you at all using this app from State Farm or someone else.
But it couldn't hurt you at all, could it?
Well, today it can't hurt you, because the way insurers have gotten adoption of these things is they've said, at least for now, these things will only save you money. They won't hurt you. But again, know yourself before you allow the invasion of your privacy. And if you're somebody who could really benefit, go for it. Welcome to the Clark Howard Show, where we're here for you and your wallet. I want you to learn ideas from me so you can keep more of what you make. Clark.com is where it all starts on the web. ClarkDeals.com is where you find ways to save money, bargains that we search for and tell you about. Coming up in a half hour, I want to talk to you about Dare to Be Rich. It seems to go in waves. I'm getting a lot more calls about Dare to Be Rich opportunities. I want to tell you what signs you should look for that something is legit and when you should run the other way. And that's coming up in just 30 minutes. I want to talk right now about the conversation that's been going on in the country that's been a... Seems like today, so much of what goes on is looked at through a partisan political lens that instead should be looked at in terms of economics. And I'd say that's very much the case with the conversation that's gone on in the aftermath of President Trump choosing to withdraw the United States from the Paris Climate Agreement. And that withdrawal will take a number of years. The way that kind of thing goes to unwind, it'll take probably 3 or 4 years. But the point is that that kind of agreement isn't worth the paper it's written on unless the technology and the economics support the changes that people have said they want collectively around the world. The idea of reducing the amount of pollution that we have in the world and the sources of greenhouse gases. So here's the reality. Ultimately, a country decides what form of energy to use, not by a national policy, but by individual business decisions made one by one by companies that generate those forms of energy and by individuals, institutions, and companies that use energy. The thing that's happening here and around the world is the mix of energy is changing no matter what might go on in Paris or not. Let's first talk about coal. President Trump has been a big advocate of coal, but the reality is coal is becoming less and less significant and will continue to become less and less important in the energy mix, specifically here in the United States. Coal used to be our largest source of energy in the U.S., and coal, although it's still is responsible for upper 20% of energy used in the United States for non-automotive purposes, non-transportation purposes, its share will continue to decline because other forms of energy are flat out much cheaper. As an example, natural gas that is in great abundance and because of hydraulic fracking will continue to grow as a share of our energy in the United States. And so natural gas today is the number one energy source in the United States for non-automotive, and it will continue to become larger and larger and larger because if you take the output of energy that and then the cost, natural gas is a much cheaper source. Now, ironically, it happens to be a far, far cleaner fuel than coal. They're not even close. So the economics of natural gas are creating the opportunity for us to have much cleaner air to breathe and for us to reduce the amount of greenhouse gases simply because of the raw economic power that natural gas has. And there are a number of breakthroughs with the production of natural gas or extraction of it from sources on Earth far more efficiently that mean that this trend is only going to continue. As always with economics, when things rotate, when things change, There are always winners and losers. In coal, people who rely on that as the way they earn a living, there's a direct loss to livelihood and disruption to individual miners and their families because of the fact that coal is no longer economically viable as a key energy source for the United States. Now, that could change in a few years, and coal could once again become competitive, but right now it's not. The other X factor is that in a number of places in the United States, wind power in particular and solar secondarily are becoming so inexpensive to generate in so many places in the U.S. that they are likely to become each the lowest cost source of power that we have. I have always, you know, I'm big into alternative energy. I drive an electric car. I have solar at my house. I've always been into this. And that's my thing. And it hadn't mattered to me whether the economics worked for me or not. But ultimately, for any alternative energy to work, any alternative propulsion system like electric to work or anything like that, it has to work economically. It has to work dollars and cents. There's an old expression, being green only works if it saves green, meaning saves you money. And in more and more cases, that's happening. There are people who don't look at natural gas as a green fuel. I do. And we have it in mass quantities. We have so much of it that we are going to become a massive exporter of natural gas, earning enormous money from people overseas. So I know in the political commentary and the partisan nature of the way our country works today, which is hard for me to understand. But anyway, people look at this through whatever their political brand is. And I'm sorry to call it a brand, but whatever it is. But the reality is ultimately over time, economics is what matters. And no more is it King Coal. It is King Natural Gas. It's really a higher form of royalty. What would be above King? Natural gas is it. Lobus is with us on the Clark Howard Show. Hello, Lobus. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Great. Thank you. You have a question for me about something we talked about on our show a year or two ago, I guess. I forget exactly how long ago.
Yes.
It's called Remedy.
Yes, I do have a question about Remedy, and actually, it is a legit company and how that pretty much works. I've read stuff on the internet, and because I have a very large hospital bill, so I just tried to see if there is any company or anybody who I can maybe forward that bill to, let them overview that bill and make sure it's correct.
Okay, so for years, there have been medical billing specialists that you can hire. You can hire an individual who maybe at one time worked for the insurance industry or worked in a hospital billing office, and they work as a patient advocate, and they're billing experts. You give them your bills, and they go through all the coding and all the bills, and they look for errors on the bills and places that they can reduce what you're going to owe. And that's the traditional business, is you hire an individual. In fact, if you Googled or whatever search engine you use, medical billing specialist, you'd be able to find someone who does that as a patient advocate in your area. What Remedy has tried to do is basically somewhat automate that process. And they do a thing where you hire them essentially to review your bill from the hospital, and whatever they save you, you get 80% of.
Okay. Only my question with that, because I did some research on internet, and you have to give them your social security number, you have to sign the agreement, which you pretty much giving them a right to act on your behalf. This is mean there will be dealing with the insurance company, with the hospital or people involved in the that bill and that process, and there will be kind of using pretty much your identity as you and dealing that for you. Is there any danger give them all that rights to have this can just pretty much act as you and do anything on your behalf? Is there any
right
danger?
Okay, so the danger is always there when you give somebody your personal information, your social security number and such. There's always a danger. And so anytime you allow somebody to have your key personal information, you have to weigh the risk versus the reward. Mm-hmm. So there is always a danger that maybe they would have a breach or they'd have a dishonest employee or whatever. They've got the keys to the kingdom with your social security number and all the rest to be able to do whatever mischief they want to do. But you judge that versus the benefit potentially of overcoming what would be a huge hospital bill and maybe shrinking it a fair amount.
Okay.
Now, the other issue is we've had a couple of testers on our staff who have mm-hmm. tried Remedy, and they have not actually saved money using it. They didn't have to pay because you only pay if they save you money.
Mm-hmm.
But in two tests that we did, there were no savings generated.
Okay. Yeah, my biggest concern was I got it with the hospital bill. If there is any, let's say, because if that hospital is out of network of your insurance, but you did have to use it as emergency room because there was no any other choice, there is a problem with the contracted price and all that stuff.
Sure.
What they're using. Only thing is, my question was, if let's say a company like this, if there is any like standard chart or anything what calls, I don't know how exactly calls, market customary price.
Right, right. The retail prices quoted by a hospital are a fiction, and nobody in real life actually pays those. They maybe build those, but nobody actually pays those. And so the negotiation process is really important. With the additional information you gave me, I think you'd be much better off hiring an individual who does this as his or her living, being your advocate as a medical billing specialist. I think that kind of individual would definitely be the most potential benefit to your wallet. But if someone does want to try Remedy, that's their website, tryremedy.com. Jennifer joins us on the Clark Howard Show. Jennifer, hi. Great to have you here.
Hi, thanks.
Jennifer, you are one of the folks whose information got loose from an insurance company breach.
Yeah, from our health insurance. We got a notice in 2015 from Anthem that our information was part of the cyber attack.
And that was a huge breach.
Yeah. We haven't noticed any like effects personally yet, but recently they sent us a letter offering to give us credit freezes for our four children who are all under 18. And they asked for a whole bunch of information and that I have to send to each credit bureau, including like copies of the birth certificate, social security card, my license, a house bill. And I'm just wondering if that's a good idea.
Okay. So the scoop is when you as an adult want to freeze your credit, it's mm-hmm. an ultra streamlined, easy process that you can do the whole thing online.
Okay.
With minor children, because generally a minor child doesn't have a credit file to start with. The whole right. process is manual. It's like it's 1970 all over again.
Okay.
And what you have to do is you have to supply paper records like the old days, and then they create a file for each of your four children, and they make sure that you are legitimately the adult who should be able to do that by having the information you supply, like birth certificate and stuff like that. So it is an incredibly invasive process that makes you worry, are they going to cause you a problem by trying to prevent one?
Mm-hmm.
And,
exactly.
And it's not just that, it's the amount of paperwork you have to do. So here's what I'd say to you. Kids are far more subject to identity theft than adults.
Oh.
And so by one study, 35 times more likely to be an identity theft victim than an adult. So the odds are so high that I think it's worth it if you're willing to put in the effort to go through the paperwork to freeze your four children's credit. And since it's being done for you for free in this case by the insurer, I think you grab that opportunity.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Hey, listeners, whether you love true crime or comedies, celebrity interviews, news, or even motivational speakers, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue, right? And guess what? Now you can call the shots on your auto insurance, too. Enter the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. The Name Your Price tool puts you in charge of your auto insurance by working just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance. Then they'll show you a variety of coverages that fit within your budget, giving you options. Now, that's something you'll want to press play on. It's easy to start a quote, and you'll be able to choose the best option for you fast. It's just one of the many ways you can save with Progressive Insurance. Quote today at progressive.com to try the Name Your Price tool for yourself and join over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Thanks for joining us here on the Clark Howard Show, where it's about you and your wallet. Hope you learn ideas from me so that you can save more and spend less. And don't let anyone ever rip you off. Clark.com is our web address. And our new improved podcast is now available, which you can reach at Clark.com or at iHeart or Spotify or many other places. Our podcast is available, and I appreciate so much your suggestions about how our podcast should work. We have changed it over the years based on your suggestions, and if you don't like what we're doing now and consider it new and improved, let us know how we can make it better for you. I have an odd thing to bring up with you. Friend of mine, longtime friend of mine in radio, has been nominated for the National Radio Hall of Fame. Guy's name is Bill Handel. And if you're from Southern California, you may know Bill from listening to morning radio. Or if you listen to his show called Handel on the Law, which is where he does offbeat legal advice, he has been a giant in radio forever, but is nominated in a category where the public votes, the only one where the public decides who is inducted in the National Radio Hall of Fame, which is harder to get into percentage-wise than any sports Hall of Fame that exists. So if you are a Bill Handel fan, it's really easy to vote for him. Go to radiovote.com. You'll have to pop in your email so they can verify you're not a robot, but they won't spam you. And then you just vote for him if you wish to, or if you can't stand Bill, vote for somebody else on that ballot. No, vote for my buddy Bill, if you care about him. So the number of calls over the years, I've been on the air 30 years approximately, and the number of calls I get over the years in sectors will rise and fall. And there's an area that got quiet for a while that is huge right now, and that's what I call the Dare to Be Rich category, where people are calling me about a business opportunity they've received to be involved in a multi-level. What a multi-level is you'll hear people start talking about their downline and their upline and their line. And it is where you are able to earn commissions off your own sales, plus the commissions of people you recruit into whatever sales organization it is. But the thing about a multi-level, when is it legit? When is it not? The test is actually pretty simple. If the organization's goal and emphasis is on the sale of a product or service to strangers, and the main income is earned off of selling product or service to strangers, it's the real deal. On the other hand, if the real money is earned from recruiting people who recruit other people who recruit other people, and not specifically the sale of product or service, then it crosses the line into something that likely is an illegal game of chance. One of the multi-levels has been so controversial for years, called Herbalife, which is a vitamin remedy seller. And Herbalife ended up entering into an agreement with the government almost a year ago to change how they do their selling and how people are compensated so that the money is earned from the products being sold and not from Herbalife salespeople recruiting other salespeople to recruit other salespeople and on like that. Well, Herbalife now has had problems with sales. Their sales have gone soft because now they must have 80% of the income generated be from product sales, 80% or higher from product sales, not from recruiting people in. So Herbalife is exceeding that standard now. And if it's something you want to be involved in and you really believe in the product, you'll be earning money legitimately from the sale of the product. But with any multi-level, that's where you need to look. In my TV work, three times when I have believed a multi-level was a sham and was just a pyramid, I have gone with camera crew in tow and been met with interesting receptions when I've done so. But in each case that I've done that, turned out it was a sham, and ultimately the pyramid collapsed into itself. See, that's the thing. If one of these things is not about the actual sale of a product or service, and that's where the income is earned, then eventually the organization collapses into itself because you run out of people to get involved in the organization to generate more commissions for people downline and upline and inline and all that. The only way an organization stands the real test of time is on the sale of an actual product or service that outsiders, strangers, want to own, want to use. That's the real test. Juan is with us on the Clark Howard Show. Hello, Juan.
Hey, Clark. How are you?
Great, thank you. Do you love the NFL as much as I do?
Yes, I do.
I love NFL football.
And me too. Big time. Big time. I'm a big fan.
TV is basically out of my life from when the Super Bowl ends till when the real season kicks off. I don't care about the exhibition games, the preseason, but I am obsessed with watching NFL.
And I do too. I go to the websites and I geek out on all these little videos, and I just try to get as much as I possibly can. So,
Well, how can I be of help with that quest?
All right. So in the past, I've been using a VPN, and all the people in Europe and out of the United States, they can watch NFL games live on, Game Pass?
Yeah, and so there have been a lot of people who've used a VPN. For people who aren't aware, that's when your location is masked from whatever website you're trying to go to.
Yes. So I've been watching all my games through a VPN, but it's still a little expensive. So I was just trying to figure out a better way of doing this.
Well, you know, NFL Sunday Ticket has become much more available for this fall season. And you can get, I think it's $200 for having every game available on your tablet using something like Chromecast to have it on your screen. And that's the best way for you to have every game.
Okay.
Now,
I was looking at the DirecTV product, but everything I saw, it just offers you to get DirecTV, and I don't care to get DirecTV. I just want the games.
Right. Now, there's a website you can go to. Right. It's called if you go to NFL.com.
Yeah.
And then you do this additional after the slash, after the .com. There's a lot to remember. It's NFL Sunday Ticket TV.
Okay.
And so I think that's going to be the most effective way. Now, in the past, do you live in a home or apartment or condo?
A home.
So, all right. So I don't know if this is going to be a problem this season, but in the past, you were only able to buy this streaming product if you could not put a DirecTV dish at your home. You know, like you didn't have a shot of the sky, or you lived in an apartment or condo or something like that. And so since you're already creative and you've been using a VPN, I'm going to tell you how people deal with that who live in homes. They have a friend or relative sign up using their billing address, and they just pay them the money for doing it. And then you have this username and password you use to access it at your home or tablet or whatever.
Okay, perfect. I like it.
So, gosh, I'm sure if they still have that restriction, DirecTV hates me right this second.
Yeah, I don't mind being sneaky and getting them every once in a while, too. So,
so who's your favorite team?
Oh, it's the Packers.
Okay, which is, I think, the Packers, the Bears, the Steelers have the most ardent fan bases all over the country.
Very true.
And now there are people from another 29 cities that are angry at me that I only named those three.
Now, nobody's upset with you. Everybody knows, Clark, that you're a great American, and we appreciate all that you do for us out here.
Well, thank you very much, Juan, and have a great day. Brian's with us on the Clark Howard Show. Hello, Brian.
Hey, Clark. Thanks for taking my call.
Great to have you here. You have a rental car puzzle to bring my way.
I do. So I road trip every year with my family. I actually decided to have a little goal for my girls to see all 50 states before they graduate high school. So every year we do big circles with the rental car so that we make sure we're bringing it back and not having to pay a drop charge. This year we're doing the West Coast, L.A. up to Seattle. So obviously we can't bring back to that same location. So I've been shopping almost obsessively for about a year, honestly, almost every day, at least once a week, just trying to get the best rates for that. I came across about a month ago a website called autoslash.com, and my understanding is they kind of scrub the internet for the best rates and the best discounts and all, and then lock in your rate. So I did that, and they saved me about $400 to $500 total. And so honestly, I'm a little leery of it that I'm going to show up in L.A. and they're going to say, we've never heard of AutoSlash, you know, you don't have a real reservation. They made the reservation through Hertz, and it shows up. I'm sorry, on the website.
On the Hertz website, it's there.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if it's there, as long as you independently confirm your rate with Hertz, you know, that it's showing that rate, you're good.
Okay.
And AutoSlash is something that the car rental industry has a love-hate relationship with, because what it does is it automatically, continually shops your rental all the way up to the time that you start your summer adventure. And so it will keep looking for better and better deals for you.
Okay.
And so it is the real deal.
Okay, good.
And on the issue of a car rental company not honoring a rate that AutoSlash has found, I've never had that complaint ever. And I hope that you're not calling me from LAX saying, Clark, you said there'd never been a problem with this.
I'm the first.
Yeah. I don't want you to be the first. So it has always worked for people to this moment. So I'm curious, is your trip a two-week trip?
10 days.
And how much is a 10-day rental picking up?
Pick up L.A., drop off in Seattle. I got a minivan for $475.
For 10 days?
Yeah.
Do you know how incredibly cheap that is?
Yes. So I've gone from, I started out about $1,300, and I'm down to $475.
Wow. Wow.
So now you see why I was nervous.
Yeah, so there isn't a way for you to make sure you get that rate. Hertz, along with other car rental companies, now in many cities offers an option of you prepaying for your rental. And they may give you a 2 to 5% additional discount if you do.
Okay.
And then that's a firm contract at that point. You know you have that price.
Okay, so I can just call and give my reservation number and then tell them I want to go ahead and pay for that?
Yeah, or you can see it on their website, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So if you see your reservation on their website, you may even be able to do that on the website.
Okay, okay. Okay, great.
But whatever you do, I want you to have in writing from Hertz what your rate is.
Okay. And even on the app, when I look at the app, it shows that $475 rate, and I screenshotted that.
Then I think you're good.
Okay.
I'm just being paranoid along with you being paranoid right now.
Okay, well, good.
Well, have a great trip, and I love what you've told me, because over and over again when people are doing these Western swings, as so many families do, particularly in the mountain states, I always end up coming back to telling you that you have to just do the circle trip like you've done in the past. In this case, you've proven me wrong. You're listening to the Clark Howard Show. It's time for Ask Clark. That's where you post a question for me at clark.com. Producer Joel asks it for you.
Clark, Kenneth wrote in. He says, is USAA available to veterans or relatives of veterans and not just those currently in the military? I'm a bit confused.
Okay, so here's the deal. Generally, if you have a DD-214, you're good as former military. It's active, retired. I'll read their exact words. Here they are. Active, retired, honorably separated officers and enlisted personnel of the U.S. military. There are other categories as well. Once a military person is in, then his or her dependents are eligible. Adult children are eligible. Widows and widowers are eligible. I mean, there are any of a number of categories where you can become a member. USAA has a very simple write-up about who is eligible and what relation they have to be, such as stepchild. That's a category that's allowed. So if you go there, you can see that.
All right. Donna wrote in, is there an internet business out there where a person could actually make a few hundred dollars a month that isn't a scam?
Yeah. And you're in the right range at a couple of hundred or so a month. We have a guide at clark.com of legitimate work-at-home opportunities and none of them are going to make you big money, but they will help you supplement your income generally on your schedule exactly what fits you.